US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, friends and family, welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. this Saturday evening, January 21st, Stonewall Jackson's birthday, a day after Donald Trump was sworn in as President of the United States. I'm your host, James Edwards, now back from the hotel lounge. How about that last segment with Sean and Sam, everybody? Are they not great? All right, well, still much more to cover. This is a show complete. Last week's show was great. We covered a lot of great content, although I had the flu. I felt so bad it was almost physically impossible to set up straight for 3 hours. That show dragged on. This show is rolling on, and thankfully we're only 1 hour down, two to go. We're not even to the halfway point tonight. This is the kind of show when you're with people like Sean and Sam, you got other people in the room that we love and respect. This is the kind of show you want to just go all night long. You never want it to end. And I just want to thank Santa again for those inauguration tickets that I woke up to on December the 25th. But hey, we're going to cover the the woman, what were they calling it? We can't say what they were calling it because we can't say those words on AM radio. But what were they? I guess it's like the Woman's March on D.C. or
the
what were they?
March on D.C. Right? It was funded and partnered with all the, you know, the usual leftist crowd from NARAL pro-choice to Planned Parenthood to the NAACP, MoveOn.org. You know, it's the usual suspects. And what are they marching for? I don't know. I mean, did Trump come out at some point and say, I'm just going to outlaw abortion? I don't recall that being anywhere in his political platform. Do you, Sam?
It was not. The reality is the murder cartel has plenty of filthy lucre, and they're ready to spread it around and fund protests of epic proportions. These women are calling themselves, you know, the slut march and worse. I don't understand how these women, these spinsters, as the word was wisely brought up, can literally behave the way they do and point to themselves as really nothing but the lowest of lows, immoral, women of ill repute in any other culture or any other time, but they seem to delight in it, James.
Well, this, Sean, you brought up a great question. What are they marching for? So you've got all of these women. And as I said earlier, there is nothing more unfeminine than a feminist. And really, there's nothing more ugly either. But we'll leave that aside for a moment. I don't understand what they're marching for. Are there any rights that have been taken away? Do they not enjoy all of the freedoms of any other citizen? There was actually a group of black women that, of course, got major play in the media, who are marching around today in chains. They had chains all over their chest, and their arms and legs were shackled, and they were shuffling around. It was about five of them. They were in a chain gang. I'm confused. Are blacks still in slavery in this country? Are those women who were all five of them were morbidly obese? Do they not have food? Do they not have shelter? Do they not have cell phones and cars and probably jobs they don't deserve? I just wonder what slavery, what bondage, what oppression are they marching for? And what are these other women down there marching for? And they all have these stickers that they were wearing. And so we're here at this very nice hotel in the outskirts of D.C. And a lot of the people that were at that march today in Washington are staying here. And they were shuffling in. Sam and Sean and I were down at the hotel restaurant before the show started and having some chicken wings and going over what we're going to be talking about tonight. And some of these women walked in, and they were all wearing stickers that said, and I had to write it down so I would be sure I got it word for word, "Proud to be a nasty woman." Well, what does that mean? Why don't you just say, "I'm proud to be a degenerate," or "I'm proud to be a slut"? Why are you proud to be nasty? Why wouldn't you be proud to be a mother or proud to be a wife?
They're proud to be provocative. These are people who are, they're attention whores is what they are. They're in desperate need of attention. And they follow blindly other attention whores, like in this case, Madonna, who got up before the crowd today, the assembled marchers, and announced that she'd like to blow up the White House.
Well, okay, you, keep going, Sean, but I just want a quick pause for you in the audience. Madonna, Ashley Judd, Alicia Keys, all of these others, Katy Perry, all of these women.
And Michael Moore.
I swear. I know, listen, I saw a picture of Michael Moore here. I saw a picture of Michael Moore here. He looks like a 70-year-old woman.
Yeah.
He looks awful. There's something going on with Michael Moore. I don't know what's happening. But they were all here. Every one of them are multi-millionaires. How has this country not been good to them? What are they complaining about? If that's oppression, please, somebody oppress me the way Alicia Keys has been oppressed. She's a black woman. This country's given her everything. The people of this country have made her a multi-millionaire. What is she here? What is she so upset about?
They're here struggling to remain relevant. That's what they're doing. Their careers are fading. Madonna was a mediocre talent at best when she was at the pinnacle. You know, having lived in New York, she came up through New York, the New York nightclub scene, and at her very best, she was a mediocre talent. What she was always very good at was being shocking and provocative. It's not very difficult to do that. Anybody can do that. But they found a way in this country to turn that into a ton of money.
It's even more obscene when you're a washed up senior citizen trying to be a sex pot like Madonna still does and offering oral sex to people who voted for Hillary Clinton during the campaign.
Yeah, she is dangerously close to becoming a porno chick. I mean, that's really where she's at. I mean, maybe she's got a couple of dance moves and, you know, she can sing a few notes, but that's where she's at right now. Michael Moore looks like he's turned into a 70-year-old lesbian. And, you know, these are people who are struggling to remain relevant. Now, what do these folks hope to achieve with their march? The answer is nothing, because they're not into achievement. They're not into gaining any kind of results. They're not results-oriented.
I never actually heard any demands. I heard a lot of grievances, but I can't really pinpoint exactly what they were complaining about.
It's just a great big temper tantrum. This is a continuation now of the leftist meltdown since election night that we've seen, and it's not going to end.
They want that filthy lucre to promote more murder, more death policies and agenda, and they don't want you to take away their free birth control. They'll melt down if they have to actually pay for their own choices, and the birth control is a response. They have to pay for that themselves. They'll melt down. They want you to pay for it, James, but then they don't want you to tell them what to do with their sexuality.
So was that one of the major things here? They want to be able to continue to murder their children at will? Is that, I guess that's a
well, bit... anything that's sponsored by the abortion mill, Planned Parenthood, I think wants to continue that exercise. And it is not going to end. We just got word today that Shia LaBeouf has started a 4-year live stream anti-Trump camera that is now going to be placed outside the New York Museum of the Moving Image, where anybody can stand before the camera for the next 4 years and say, you will not divide
us. He better go ahead and make it 8 years.
8 years. Yeah, that's what I say. 8 years. The Democrats are looking at being in the political wilderness for about the next 20 years, because Trump, the thing that terrifies these leftists most about Trump is that they know he's going to succeed.
And the world changed drastically, and drastically for the better, in 1 year's time. It took 1 year and one man with a vision and a stick-to-itiveness not to be taken aback by the foot shuffling and the incessant cries of racism.
He was undeterred.
That's the word I was stabbing for. Undeterred. It took one man. One man changed the world. And we're a couple of days into that administration. We'll be right back with more from Washington.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better.
Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the broadcast. James Edwards, Sean Bergen, Sam Bushman, live from Washington, D.C. tonight. We're having a three-way roundtable. And I hope you're enjoying it. We're getting a lot of emails from people saying that they are tuned in and loving everything that they're hearing tonight on the political cesspool. Just a very quick departure. I should have worked this in the first hour, so bear with me, folks. A very quick departure. I want to go back just for about 60 seconds and revive something that I didn't quite finish in the first hour. The shouting, the full-throated endorsement of Trump, give him hell, Donald, that I was able to delivered to him with an earshot there on the front row at the inauguration. One thing I didn't tell you, we were sitting with the print media. So as soon as it was over, there was a guy behind us on the row immediately behind us. He was a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And when it was over and people were starting to disperse, he came up to talk to me and Jared. And he ended up interviewing Jared. I didn't have any interest in speaking with him, and they did a little interview. And it was published today. Okay. So the headline reads, Jared Taylor shouts, give him hell, Donald, at inauguration. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal to me.
Huge deal because it's not the truth, and he lied. He's supposed to be a seasoned reporter, seasoned in getting the facts, who, what, when, where, and why. The guy sat right behind you. He either knew better or should have clarified, and he flat-out lied, and he should be forced to retract.
But the point is, you know that I shun the media, and so I don't get wrapped up in headlines. I'm glad that it was written. Jared and I had a pretty hearty chuckle about it this morning. But this just goes to show, this was a paid reporter, a professional, for a major American daily newspaper in the very big American city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was 1 foot, literally 1 foot. What happened, what he wrote about, what his headline was, occurred one foot in front of his nose, and he got a basic fact wrong. He couldn't even differentiate who between the two men a foot in front of him shouted it. And that, you know, I guess people make mistakes, but when he interviewed Jared and I was standing there during the interview, that was not brought up at all. He didn't say, now, you were the one who shouted, give him hell, Donald, right? I just want to get that straight. He didn't make mention that he was going to include that in the story. Not that I care. I'm glad he did. But this goes to show, Sean, and we'll get back to the march and some other things we intended to talk about this hour. This is a reporter for a major American newspaper. This happened a foot away from him, and his headline was factually and embarrassingly wrong. This is what you get.
This is the level of ineptitude in the mainstream media. You're first and foremost, as a journalist, you have a duty and an obligation to get it right. And the fact is that this guy got it horribly wrong. And he wasn't the only one. There was another reporter today, and I'm not quite sure which outlet it was from. He was called on the carpet over Twitter by the new White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. He said that he was in the Oval Office and it looked like the bust of Martin Luther King had been removed. Well, the fact of the matter is it had not been removed, and this guy was in an office and he can't make his way around. He can't even get that right.
Although it should be removed, Sean.
Well, and there was another story about this, about the Churchill, but I mean, again, it's one thing when they go into commentary mode when they're supposed to be objective reporters or journalists, and of course we've talked about that, and everybody knows that they're anything but that. But when you're talking about basic facts, things in front of your eyes, things that you're a foot away from, things that you're in the building, and you can't even get that right?
No, because they don't want to get that right. It's more interesting to them and their fellow. Look, they're not reporting the news; they're reporting to each other. The liberal media, they're like at a big cocktail party, and they're just talking to one another. They're not in the business of informing the public. They'll walk in and fail to know. It's one room, the Oval Office. How can you get that wrong? Two guys standing literally feet in front of you, and you can't differentiate or make a distinction between who actually said it. I mean, You ought to get on the horn, send an email, go directly to that guy's boss, and say, hey, what the hell is going on over there?
Well, I mean, again, to me, I don't seek out the spot. I mean, of course, we get a ton of press here, but it's not hey, Jared got the headline, I didn't. But here's another thing. Jared didn't even stand up. I was the one who stood up. Jared was seated. We had seats at the time. So anyway, but he went into detail in that article about what Jared was wearing, and he got all of that right. But he couldn't figure out which one of us stood up and which one didn't.
Because that's of importance to a guy like him. He's more interested in what color Jared's shirt is. Is he wearing a name brand? What does his sneakers look like? Does he have a hat on? I mean, this is what's important to him. So I can't tell you how many times I was sitting around an editorial meeting, in the morning, and hearing these guys say, I like, I like, I like, I like. And that's how they decide which stories to cover, which stories not to cover, and the emphasis and repetition they place on those stories that are chosen to be covered.
If a man is more worried about what Jared's wearing than getting the facts straight, I am seriously, seriously mortified.
Yeah, I would say in a previous generation, we might question the sexuality, but we're not.
The guy was pleasant enough, as they most often are in person. And I'm not.
That's an act.
I don't probably so.
They'll be nice to your face, and they will fillet your entire life and put it on the front page.
Oh, believe me, we've shared war stories earlier before the show, and you're very well of the history of this show, and we're of course very well with your history in the media, so we know that. But I mean, I'm not saying this to bust the guy out or to mocking, but I'm just saying this is just an incident where you're literally talking about an event that happened a foot away from this guy. And a
he got it wrong.
Anyway, that's enough about that. I meant to include that in the first hour. And anyway, so that's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey might say. But back to this nasty woman march. We'll wrap that up, too. Of course, Sean, as we were brainstorming before the broadcast this evening down in the hotel restaurant, a few of these people were around, and they didn't really care for our conversation, did they?
Oh, no. I mean, they were seated right behind you, and I could see the woman in the telltale Black & Decker haircut. With her vaguely semi-masculine partner as they were like rolling the. It started with the eye rolls, and then it went to the head shakes, and then when it got to the point where the woman was like clutching at her face, I thought, "Uh-oh, this is the moment."
Now listen,
we didn't say anything
obscene or out of line. No, we were absolute gentlemen, but we did say some things though that absolutely melt their world down. It started out with some comments about what they were calling themselves. James was saying how we wouldn't be able to say that on the radio. I then said, you know what? Who would want a woman who thinks of herself as either a slut in the slut walks or as a nasty woman? Who wants a nasty woman that would be publicly promoting herself as nasty?
They call themselves okay. Sluts affectionately.
They call themselves sluts affectionately. James is right. Who would want a woman like that? When I said that, she just literally gasped, shook her head, freaked, and then it just went. For us, it went north from there. For her, it went south from there fast.
Yeah, it was an audible gasp. And look, I think you hit the nail right on the head. These are women who can't get a man. And when they do get a man, they can't hang on to the man. So, you know, they're not much to look at. They're not very pleasant. They're not very attractive. They're not very feminine, yet they call themselves feminists. And they're a walking, talking Orwellian phrase. They're the exact opposite of what they would like the world to believe. And yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's like Animal Farm on steroids.
And we weren't down there trying to trigger them, to use the parlance of our time. We were down there having a conversation at normal audible levels. You know, we weren't being loud, we weren't being obnoxious, but they were close enough to overhear us. And anyway, but the bottom line, what are we talking about? We're talking about normal. All of this stuff, what we saw today in D.C., that is the triumph of liberalism, as the great Keith Alexander would put it, my co-host. This is not a movement that empowers women. It is a movement that attacks the nuclear family, the building block of civilization. And that is what it's always about. That's what it's always been about. These women are not empowered. These women are not happy. But they bought into this siren song of so-called feminism. And again, it's just an attack on family. It's part of the culture of death. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Professor Jordan Peterson of the University of Toronto became the focus of an international hate campaign because he insists on using clear, proper, respectful English when addressing students and fellow faculty. Because the psychology professor refuses to accommodate the demands of the gender revolutionaries, he has been arraigned as a hate criminal by the pronoun police. The 54-year-old has been at the center of a debate about gender and free speech ever since he posted videos to YouTube last fall in which he said he would not use the preferred gender-neutral pronouns of some students and faculty, reports the Toronto Star. The videos drew fire from trans activists, faculty, and student and labor unions. Critics accused Peterson of helping to foster a climate for hate to thrive. Protests, sometimes violent, broke out on campus, and the controversy attracted international media coverage. Peterson went public with this resolution because of Bill C-16, a proposed amendment to the Canadian Human Rights Act that would outlaw discrimination on the basis of gender identity and gender expression, and a corresponding human resources initiative at the University of Toronto. Dr. Peterson insists that these measures imperil freedom of speech, and the demands that he be censured and suppressed eloquently validate his warnings.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, a lot of action on Twitter, a lot of emails coming in. I'm glad everybody's enjoying the show. This just came in. One of my Twitter followers sent this to me from the BBC, a BBC reporter at it's talking about this woman's march, this degenerate. How did so many degenerate women come to be? How many people could fall for this deceit that radical feminism is empowerment? It's not. It's horrible. But what they're doing now in downtown Washington, D.C. is they're taking their pads, their feminine pads. And you know what a pad is used for if you're a woman. And they're plastering them on walls in downtown D.C. with all sorts of profanities. One of them actually looks like it was used and has blood on it. This is the degeneracy. This is the opposition to Donald Trump. If these are the people that are opposing Donald Trump, don't you know that you're doing the right thing by supporting him? And, Sean, we're talking now for the rest of this hour. You and Sam are kind of going to take over, and we're going to talk about what Trump has done in his first hours as
really,
president.
Really quick, James, before we go. I just want to mention this. You know, we don't like to report the details in such graphic terms, but you've got to understand who these psychotic people really are. You've got to understand what's happening to our nation as we hit an all-time low. You've got to understand it. There's no way for us to describe it without giving you those details, or you just won't understand the debauchery that's taking place, the evil that's just raging, and it's up to us to counteract it.
And hopefully I wasn't too graphic there. I'm just trying to give the audience, we gotta paint a verbal picture here on the radio. But so this is the opposition to Trump. This is the degeneracy that we're faced with, and this is what we're up against. But that's okay, because hopefully righteousness and goodness will prevail. Before we get into what he's done so far, the forecast for the week to come, Sean, I wanted to cover this very quickly, and we haven't covered it yet. So from our vantage point where we were obviously in a press area, so we didn't see any shenanigans. We didn't see any violence. We didn't see any lawlessness or any vandalism. Although I did hear that a few trash cans got taken out. They took out their angst on some garbage cans. I think a limo was set on fire. Some windows were broken. There were some flare-ups of some assaults, minor and isolated. Of course, coming into this, there was a great fear, as it was before the Republican National Convention, that there could be some very serious damage done. 200-plus people got arrested, according to Sam. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, there were 28,000 law enforcement officials from various agencies across the country. There were a few people that got punched. But were you able to gather anything, Sean, about any damage that was done, or was it pretty much just as I described, kind of isolated and random?
It was isolated. It was random. It was moving. There were 217 arrests, as I recall. You're talking, a law enforcement official say, you're talking about a hardcore group of between 400 and 500 people. These are the same ass clowns that you see showing up at It's an outgrowth of the Occupy movement. These are the professional anarchists you see at the annual G8 summits. Anywhere that there is a place for them to act out their adolescent behavior, and that's another thing I want to talk about. Just wanted to mention about what you were talking about earlier in graphic detail with these women placing their feminine hygiene products in. Basically, they're so provocative and so in your face about it. You're talking about people who have the emotional development of 12-year-olds. And these hardcore protesters, as they like, the rioters is what they do. They've basically elevated the kind of juvenile, the kind of vandalism you see amongst pre-adolescents and juveniles. They've elevated that to a career choice. And now it's on display in front of the international and world media for the entire world to see. And this stuff is always associated with the left. You never
And they're funded by George Soros, by Hillary's mountain of money, by all kinds of anger, hate groups, all in between the efforts to, I mean, they're super mad. The reason these tampons are appearing all over Washington, D.C. is because they're mad because Donald Trump is going to shut down their free birth control. They want to be able to act irresponsibly. They want to have us fund it. And then when we complain about their sexuality and their lifestyle choices, they tell us to leave them alone. And my response is, you know what? As soon as we stop funding it, I'll leave you right alone. But as long as you steal my money, I have a say.
And I think that's what has drawn their ire is from what we can gather, news reports coming out now that in Trump's first hours, first days in office, he is going to defund international Planned Parenthood. I think that should set the stage for perhaps some defunding of Planned Parenthood in general.
That is a huge shot across the bow. I think that is a very aggressive action, one that, of course, I 100% support. I think it is definitely some red meat for his base, which is obviously social conservatives and evangelicals and Christian voters predominantly, but not exclusively. But I think that is that is not a milquetoast action to take in your first few hours. And I was hearing here, I was not aware of this, but supposedly he's going to sign that executive order tomorrow, which is a Sunday, which is the Sabbath day, but also is that the anniversary? Do we know for a fact that is the anniversary of Roe versus Wade? How symbolic is that?
That is symbolic and so in your face. And Trump, like you know what we were talking about earlier. Trump, you hit Trump, Trump hits back twice as hard. Trump doubles down. He does not allow himself to be used as a punching bag. So you're going to bring 500,000 marchers to protest his inauguration? Fine. He's going right back at their, I mean, Planned Parenthood. That's their holy grail. You took the words right out of my mouth, James. That is their holy grail. I got thrown off Facebook 2 weeks ago for getting into it with a Planned Parenthood zealot who just tried to tell me in no uncertain terms that Planned Parenthood is all about women's reproductive health care. And I said, that is patent nonsense. And look, I'm not some anti-abortion zealot, all right? It doesn't really have any effect on me. I'm not married, have no wife, have no kids. I don't have any daughters that I have to be concerned about. But call it what it is. Planned Parenthood is an abortion mill that hands out free contraceptives to underage girls who don't want their parents to know what they're up to. That's what Planned Parenthood does. And we know that thanks to the incredible
reporting. By the way, that constitutes criminal activity, though, Sean.
Well, hey, listen, I'm with you on that 100%. But we know this thanks to the great reporting of James O'Keefe and his Project Veritas, who went around to 39 different Planned Parenthood clinics and found that none of these women's reproductive health services were being made available. So, look, you know, they are what they are. They're an abortion mill. You find them in ghetto neighborhoods where they've had, a real deleterious effect on African Americans. They're right there next to the liquor stores and the chicken shacks and the check cashing places. You'll always find a Planned Parenthood place because Margaret Sanger, you know, the mother of Planned Parenthood, was a eugenicist. And
not to toss a racist Molotov cocktail into the mix. However, it's definitely generated specifically to focus on ridding our society of blacks. That was Margaret Sanger's agenda. That's what they're pushing for now. And the murder death rate racially compared proves the point, to say the least, Sean.
And the only people who really have the courage to stand up and say this are black church pastors.
And Sam Bushman.
Who says it with great relish and authority, I might add. But that's the truth. And that's the truth of the matter. And they are in the business, the American left, of hiding from the truth. They can't take it. They can't handle life in the real world. They can't handle reality. They participate in their own reality. and then describe themselves in this, you know, Orwellian kind of language, like they're the Ministry of Truth.
Now, I'm going to see you at high noon was kind of the idea on Friday. It happened. Donald Trump was sworn in. But at high noon, something else happened that drove the liberals to psychosis. James?
Okay, we have just seconds before our next break. Do we have time to unpack this with the authority that we deserve? Okay, so basically, at high noon, the moment, that was literally to the minute, I believe, that Trump was sworn in, there was a changing of the guard on the official WhiteHouse.gov website. And it was pretty intense. Sam, go ahead and start telling the story, and if we got to cut off, we'll cut off.
All right, you tell me when. So the bottom line, literally the second at high noon, the whole website was completely changed, like instantly, bam, done. And what they did is they rid the website of all global warming / climate change propaganda. They literally got rid of it all. Within minutes, the liberals were absolutely melting down. I heard a liberal talking about it. She was frothing at the mouth. It was an absolute meltdown. And Donald clearly is just like, you know what? I'm not part of this bogus, politically driven propaganda agenda. I won't do it. And at high noon, boom, it was all gone. Every bit of it, James.
Well, was there a picture of a wall that was put up in its place? Because I'll tell you, Steve King, Representative Steve King, who's really one of the champions of the American people in Iowa, he tweeted out a scale model of the wall that he would like to see Donald Trump build. And it is a beautiful, he had it in his office, something that he made up, beautiful reinforced concrete about 20 feet high, with razor wire spiraling. Ooh, we got to get Steve King into Washington. Oh, well, I guess he is in Congress. But we'll be back. We'll talk more about that and more from the opening hours of the Trump administration right here as TPC broadcast from Washington.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Back to get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Edwards, Bergen, and Bushman and friends here with the Political Cesspool Live tonight in Washington. I got to tell you, I miss my guys, though. I miss my regular team. I miss Eddie. I miss Keith. Not being with me here tonight, everything was so up in the air with me having a violent, and I mean it was rough, case of the flu last week. I was pretty much a game-time decision on whether or not I could even end up taking the trip. As Sam Bushman knows, I was going back and forth about how I was going to get here, what was going on, the travel arrangements, the itinerary, and everything fell into place at the last minute. But a big shout-out to two of our stalwarts, our mainstays, Keith and Eddie, back home in Memphis tonight. I love you guys. Miss you. Wish you were here. Can't wait to get back on the air with you next week. But in the meantime, we are having a great time tonight.
Let's not forget Scoop Stanton.
Oh, Scoop, absolutely. Of course, Scoop's a local. Yes, yeah, thank you, Sean. Scoop's a local. He's working tonight. We're not going to reveal where he works, but he had to. He got called into duty.
Yeah, they had to have him, parlay all those nasty women everywhere.
Hey, you know, speaking of the nasty women, and they are most certainly that, we were having a conversation about Melania Trump vis-a-vis the women who were in town for the Degenerate March today. Melania Trump, now that is a woman who has not been infected by the disease of feminism. She is actually feminine. And not only is she beautiful, she is regal. She's elegant. She is a mother, a very good mother to Barron. She is a loyal and proud mother, a loyal wife to Donald Trump. And you can say, well, yeah, it's easy to be a loyal wife to a billionaire, to the president. I guarantee you it was not easy for her during that campaign. I can tell you right now, money or not, that was not easy for any woman to endure what her family was put through by the degenerate lying press. I guarantee you it took a woman of a particular kind to stand by her man during a horrible 12 months of savaging that will continue now that he's the president, no less.
Let's not forget that she also speaks 5 different languages.
Yeah, there's that. So yeah. Not only is she a mother, a beauty, but also an educated woman as well. So just to talk about that in contrast to the people who are here, Rosie O'Donnell and all of the celebrities that are in town to protest Trump and by extension his family.
Yeah, she really does stand in stark contrast. I mean, she harkens back to the days when we had very classy, elegant first ladies. The last person I can think of who even comes close to Melania Trump would be Jacqueline Onassis. And it shows in her fashion taste. It shows in her style, her savoir-faire, the way that she carries herself. I mean, she is the picture of beauty and brains and elegance and everything that you could ever hope to aspire to be a woman in America.
And as you said quite rightly, Sean, and we didn't even intend to bring this up. This wasn't on the plate for tonight, but we got to talking about it during the commercial break. We said, hey, that'd be good. Let's work that in real quick. She really represents everything that the people here protesting her, those women, can never be.
No, they can't reach that, and that's what they hate her for that. That is what you're seeing is really is a lot of jealousy out on the streets. This is these are people who are angry, bitter, resentful. They're put upon. They're butt hurt. They're got their feelings hurt. They're throwing a temper tantrum. They're engaged in adolescent behavior. They are intellectually stunted, emotionally arrested. And a marches like this are just their way of acting out, to put it in psychological terms. They know that they're not going to achieve anything. It's not going to change anything. There will be no good results of this. It's just a way for them to show up. And, you know, just this is what they do. They march. They protest. It was the thing that used to drive me nuts when I was working as a crime reporter in America's inner cities. You'd have these terrible shootings, multiple homicides, and then the communities would respond by holding a Stop the Violence rally. And that's followed by the March for Peace. And then there's the Candlelight Vigil. And it's like nobody anywhere in this equation is actually addressing the problem and coming up with any kind of solutions-oriented, any kind of solutions because they are not results oriented. All they are engaged in is this these feel good gestures that they think are very symbolic that go absolutely nowhere. There is no follow through on it. There's no action on it, and they don't even know what they're protesting. Half of these people, it's that bad.
Kurt, we got Kurt. Kurt Crosby's here. He is Sam Bushman's co-host for the Liberty Roundtable show. He's showing me something, and I didn't quite have time to read it before you wrapped up, Sean. Kurt, just hop on the air and tell us what you got.
Well, you know, part of the shindig, you know, yesterday was this whole the balls, and so she. This is a report. Who is it? Yahoo News. You know, it says the 46-year-old former model glowed as she stepped onto the dance floor, her auburn hair hanging around her shoulders with her husband. I mean, imagine that husband. Dressed in a black tie to My Way, the song made popular by Frank Sinatra and considered something of a personal anthem for Trump. There you go, My Way, huh, James?
Thank you for that, Kurt. And as you were reading that, that prompted me to recall what I saw yesterday from our very privileged VIP seats. She was holding the Bible as Trump was being sworn in.
God forbid.
He chose his. I don't know if that's common. I don't recall previous inaugurations. Maybe that's the way it always is. But I certainly took note that Melania Trump, his wife, was the one he selected to hold the Bible that he was being sworn in on as president. So this is just, and if you look at his children, all of his children, Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Barron, Tiffany.
And their spouses.
And their spouses. It is just top shelf. It is, they say blue-collar billionaire, and you could certainly see that. Donald is a man of the people. But it's also sort of an aristocracy in the best possible way. And everything about it I like. Everything about them I like.
It's an aristocracy of achievement. These are not people who are handed everything to them on a silver platter. It's clear to them that they have the character that comes with working for a living.
And let's be clear about something else. Donald has set the stage for his daughters and his sons to carry on a tradition of being people of the people, of understanding the proper role of America first. And so this is not just the Donald. This is not going to be a one person and we're done one term. This is going to be a longevity of leadership, I submit.
And, you know, that's – yes, thank you, Kurt. Donald Trump took out two criminally corrupt dynasties over the course of the last 12 months. He took out the Bushes. He took out the Clintons. And the Obamas, although that dynasty wasn't quite as, of course – long-lived as the others, but it could have gotten that way. And now you're hearing, I've heard some chatter, maybe Chelsea Clinton will seek a congressional seat. You know, enough with the Clintons, enough with the Bushes. What I would like to see is more prominent roles for Eric and Don Jr. I would like to see more of them. They are capable, they are smart, they are loyal, they are good sons. And I think we're all family men in this room. I really like the family angle that the Trumps have. It's not, you can tell it's not played. It's not a put on. It's not staged managed. It's real. And that's important to point out. Now, we didn't intend to get into any of that this segment. We were still wrapping up some of the things that Trump has done, even in his first hours in as president. He has taken some pretty drastic actions. We talked about the executive order that's going to be signed defunding some elements of Planned Parenthood. He also signed an executive order regarding Obamacare. What did that do, Sean?
Obamacare, basically he signed two executive orders his first few hours in office, and one of them had to do with Obamacare and not implementing any further fees on government agencies. I think Sam has a little bit more on the specifics with that, right?
Yeah, the two executive orders really are, in my mind, setting the stage for what's to come executive orders. They're an immediate, within hours, shot across the bow of Barack's, quote, legacy. They are an attempt to set the stage for Congress to act. So he's respecting the separation of powers there, but he's showing clearly his support for Congress to just flat out completely defund and reject Obamacare outright. And the details have to do with making it possible, more flexibility for states, for example, to reject a lot of the tenets of Obamacare, more flexibility for businesses. One of the ideas will be to be able to reject the funding of birth control, as I told you. That's what the women are just so ballistic about. They want to have sex on your dime. And it's just absolutely unacceptable. Well, Donald has set the stage with these couple of executive orders for Congress to act, and he's also made moves for the states to have more flexibility and for insurance companies and businesses to be able to reject the funding of things that they flat out find abhorrent. And that's what's happening now. And Donald, I guess, is, from what I understand, is going to come out of the gate on Monday. That's considered his first full day, first business day, if you will, as president. Now, he's done some things while most people would be partying on a weekend or hanging out at Kennebunkport or Camp David or some goofy thing like that. Donald's at home, blue-collar billionaire at work, firing off executive orders, setting the stage for his first day, which will be considered Monday, the first full day for the Donald. And I'm telling you, more is going to come on that stage being set over the weekend, James.
You know, just to stand in contrast to what we saw with Obama 8 years ago, Donald Trump held two inaugural balls. The Freedom Ball and the Liberty Ball. The Obamas, 10 inaugural balls. The guy gets down to business on, you know, hours after he's taken the oath. When Obama came in, they were having parties here in Washington, D.C. for a week straight. So, you know, it's very clear where this president's priorities are. He's a guy who really seems to relish and enjoy hard work. He's got the stamina of a thoroughbred.
And he's not a spring chicken. I mean, people forget his age.
The guy is kicking it live at the age of 71, and there's no stopping him. I mean,
he looks in better health than men half his age, to say the least.
He kept up a very grueling pace on the campaign trail and doubled down on it during the transition.
At age 70, the oldest man ever sworn in as U.S. President, Yahoo News. So, hey, but let me tell you what, he's got decades left in him if his actions are any indicator. One more hour to go, folks, from Washington. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.